From the Understood Podcast Network, this is In It, a podcast about the ins and outs,
the ups and downs,
of supporting kids who learn and think differently. I'm Gretchen Fierstra, a former classroom teacher and an editor here at Understood.
And I'm Rachel Bozek, a writer and editor with a family that's definitely in it. Today, we're breaking from our usual form.
It's just you and me, Rachel, no guest. And the thing we want to talk about is something called sharenting.
So if you've never heard this word before, it refers to parents sharing pictures, videos, or other info involving their kids online.
It can be so tempting to post about our kids because we're proud of them, because they're just so darn cute. But how much information is too much to share?
This dilemma can be especially tricky for parents of kids with learning and thinking differences. We want to find community, share our experiences, seek advice, but we also want to be careful not to overshare. So, Gretchen, is this something that you've run into, or how do you feel about sharenting?
Well, first of all, sharenting is a funny word.
It is.
Well, secondly, I haven't really wrestled with this per se, or just kind of made a decision. So I'm not a real social media person. I don't do Facebook. I don't do any of the things. And so when I had kids, it wasn't like I was going to start. And because I'm a private person, it kind of made me think, well, they might be too. So why would I be making this choice when they're just small beings to post about them and share them with the world when this might be something that they're very uncomfortable with as adults? So I just decided it wasn't really my place. And I just had like a private, like Google Photos album sharing with family and friends. That's it though. Like, you know, with grandma and like a few other people. And even as they got older with that, I would sometimes ask them, is it okay if I invite so-and-so to look at these photos? Because sometimes they'd be like, no, I don't want you to. But the one caveat to all this is just that it's made me feel slightly bad sometimes, because I am a parent who wants to learn information and find out things. And so I've been a lurker on some, like if you can look at something without joining, like going on Reddit, for example, and finding answers, I've done that, but I've never shared myself. So I'm guilty of lurking and not giving anything back. And so sometimes that feels bad. That's me. What about you, Rachel?
Well, I totally hear all of that. I love just the idea of a lurker. Being how you think of yourself online. You know, it's interesting because I use some social media. I don't use all of the things, but over time, I have definitely come to think about it differently, like as my kids are getting older. And I don't even think this has so much to do with learning and thinking differences. I feel like this is kind of an everybody thing. But something that came to mind when we started talking about doing this episode was, you know, when my older child was baby, I made a blog spot, because at the time that was like kind of a new thing. And some people listening might be like, what's a blog spot? But it was an old blogging platform when blogging was kind of a really big thing. And it was a little bit before a lot of the social media platforms that everybody uses now were even around. And I even set it up like using my kid's name, which now like seems like a terrible idea. And I posted on it pretty diligently for like 2 years, and it was baby pictures and bathtub pictures. And the only people I shared it with was family. I was definitely not a mommy blogger. I just would send the link out to like grandparents and aunts and uncles. And then I forgot about it. I'm sure like life got crazy, and it's probably around when I had another kid. And not too long ago, one of my child's friends did a Google search. You know, kids Google each other's names. They Google their friends. They Google themselves. Like, we all do it. And that was not hard to find. It created a little strife in the house. It was like, what are you doing? What is this? Why is this out there? Why is it my name? Why don't I know about it? And these are all super fair questions. And I was like, oh, I am so sorry. And then I had to figure out how to like undo that, right? Like either take it down or change the name to be something that is not like findable by anyone. I did end up getting it removed and it does not exist anymore. And I just like have the pictures myself in a folder, and that's lovely. But it was a definite lesson, because it like ended up being fine, but it could have been really embarrassing for my kid. And you know, that was never my goal.
Well, Rachel, that story is hilarious. And yes, sometimes what we post is going to come back to bite us later. But people find a lot of value in parenting posts. And so there are some positive aspects. In fact, in 2023, Mott Children's Hospital did a national poll, and Mott Children's Hospital is out of University of Michigan. And they found that most parents of young children, 80%, use social media to discuss parenting topics.
Yes, they use it to look for advice, to share experiences about things like toilet training or how to get their child to get along with other kids. So we asked our Understood community how they think about social media and what benefits they get from sharing that way. And here's one response we got from a different Rachel. She wrote, "I'm an open book when it comes to struggles with my son. Sharing online has helped me realize I'm not alone, and anything I've gone through, no matter how crazy or personal I think it may be, someone can relate. I will say that my son is 9 and has come over my shoulder while I was posting. That led to an uncomfortable conversation, but I realized it's okay to let our kids know we struggle with their behavior."
So we've been talking about some of the positive aspects of sharing. But we all know that there are also negative aspects. And some of those things might be, for example, having difficulty separating good from bad advice that you find online, sharing photos of your kids, other people's kids, without consent, and just plain old oversharing.
Yeah, those are really great points. And, you know, another concern that's come up and that I think a lot of parents might be thinking about even during this conversation, is the idea that when we're as parents sharing things, that this could embarrass a kid later when they get older. And The Atlantic did a really great article about this called "The First Social Media Babies Are Growing Up and They're Horrified." And it talks about how at the beginning of Facebook, which was like 2006-ish, that's when it opened up, where people started really using it in this way. Those kids are adults now.
Yep.
And they're looking for jobs. And when somebody, like, you know, kind of digs into them a little when they're considering them for a job or just kind of figuring out their life, and, you know, maybe they start dating someone and that person's like, "Oh, what can I find out about this person?" They're finding out, you know, what their parents posted like 18, 19 years ago. And that is something really important to think about now. And, you know, whether you have little kids and now you're posting their stuff, or maybe you have some posts to go back and, you know, maybe change your privacy settings or edit how you talked about your child at that time and whether you use their full name and all of that kind of stuff is really worth thinking about. I think this article just kind of made me think about all of that.
Yeah. I mean, we teach kids, right, to build their digital footprint, to think about what they're putting out into the world. But then as parents, perhaps we put out things into the world and started their footprint long ago. And that's kind of not fair to them, I think.
Yeah. And for some parents, that's really hard to stop doing.
Yeah. Parents might get validation, right, from how many views, how many likes. And then, you know, I always thought, well, if you're as a parent are doing that, then you're definitely perhaps showing your kids that that's one way to, like, get a little boost of, I don't know, energy, confidence, is like looking for all the likes, looking for all of the reinforcement online. So another negative that, in my opinion, at least, is a negative that I'd like to share about, you know, everything being posted and shared. And I'm not talking about when you're asking for advice. I'm more talking about, like, sharing everything about our kids, is that I feel like it models for kids, like, everything is to be shared. You're doing it to share and for someone else to consume rather than you to just enjoy. And, you know, I saw that when my kids became of age to have their own phones and we went on a family vacation and all of a sudden everyone was taking a picture. And I was like, well, no, we'll just use one person's camera. Well, no, but then I can't post that on Instagram. I'm like, well, why do you have to? You're on vacation. You're not doing that. You need to enjoy the moment. I got so mad and I was like, no. Nobody's doing that. And the other thing I feel like it breeds in kids is, you know, here we are as educators, parents, trying to get kids to have a growth mindset, right? To think that, like, you try and you work hard and you make mistakes and you keep getting better at something. But everything for the most part, that's posted on social media is about perfection. And so you're constantly aiming for perfect and only sharing perfect and not sharing with people like the struggles or the attempts that it took to get there. Like, you know, my daughter's a dancer and she'll show me this post of these beautiful pirouettes. And she's like, I can't do that many. I'm like, yeah, but it probably took that kid all day to get that one shot. And so she's like, all day doing that.
9 hours of video.
Right. Just to get like all those likes. Was that worth it? I don't really think so. So that's just my little two cents on how I feel about posting everything about your life online. So Rachel, I'm not the best person to give best practice ideas since I'm a lurker, not a sharer, but I think you share sometimes. So what are some best practices you've thought of as a parent?
Well, I have a few that I've thought about, and I, full disclosure, these are not from any vetted research.
Right.
This is just my own, like, this is what I think about when I'm posting is, you know, I think about who's seeing this, right? And why am I posting? What is the intention behind it? And is that ultimately what's coming through? Like sometimes something really funny can happen in your family, but when you explain it in a post or show a picture of just this one like millisecond of that experience, it can end up looking like you're making fun of your kid. And I think that's a really important thing for parents to think about, both in terms of like the longer term effects of that, you know, if somebody else sees it later or doesn't really understand the context, and then you seem kind of mean. But, you know, I do think there's a balance to find. I don't think it's always bad to share on social media. I have found it to be a really nice way to keep connected with members of our family who are in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
But I think that's where kind of making sure that there's privacy settings and limitations on what we do and don't say. That's where I think that gets really important. But one thing I just want to address, because this is something that's been really helpful for me, is there are also a lot of, quote, like private, or I hate the word secret, but I try not to use it too much, but there are groups that are actually kind of classified as secret groups, where if you become aware of a community, I use Facebook as an example, because that's the platform that I use probably most frequently. I guess that means I'm kind of oldish. But I have found some really helpful communities there where I've come to really get to know and trust the people within them. And they have pretty clear rules and guidelines where if you violate those recommendations, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of groups have been how I've found what feels like a very safe space to ask advice, to talk about experiences, to share something that I would not want to put on my own page, but like, oh my God, this thing happened. Like, has this happened to anyone else? Or has, you know, has anyone else's kid ever done this?
Yeah.
Or, you know, conversations with teachers that I don't want to post on my page because all of my kids' friends have the same teachers and maybe they're having a much better or worse experience. And I'm not looking to like pass judgment on any of that, but it is a really helpful way to get some advice without being too public about it.
Yeah. You know, again, I don't share online, but I do seek advice. And just in terms of privacy and like thinking about where you're posting, like sometimes I don't even ask questions of like friends in town anymore because I'm afraid that they might share with their child who knows my child. And so I've actually gotten in the habit of like texting friends who live across the country and have kids as well, like my old high school friends. And like, we can share the heck out of questions that we have about things going on, because guess what? We don't live near each other and our kids aren't going to run into each other. And so it feels like a safe space to be able to ask questions there.
Yeah. I think sometimes kind of like going back to basics and just like checking in with someone directly. It doesn't always have to be in front of, you know, an audience of 50 or 5,000 or whatever.
Yeah. And some other things to think about when you are posting though, right, is that yes, you want to get maybe answers to specific questions, but you don't have to share the real specifics, right? You don't have to use your child's name or their age or give any kind of details that might indicate who they are and where they live. I mean, you can make up a vague story about somebody else, like in order to share, so that it's not going to get back to the fact that, oh, maybe this is a kid I know who this question is about.
Yeah. And I think it's worth noting that a lot of these things are probably good practice anyway, just for like personal security.
Yeah.
You know, from a privacy standpoint, and, you know, we're always talking about, you know, like, I remember in the earlier days of social media, it was a really big deal not to post vacation pictures while you were still away, because then everybody knew you were away.
Right.
And, like, even though you can control your privacy settings, you know, if you have, like, 2,000 friends on Facebook, that, you know, that's not that private. I think it's still worth thinking about that part of it too.
Or just be a social media hermit like me and live under a rock.
So what about all of you? What does everybody think about posting or oversharing? Or do you have any other suggestions that you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you.
You can email us at init@understood.org to share your thoughts. You've been listening to In It from the Understood Podcast Network.
This show is for you, so we want to make sure you're getting what you need. Email us at init@understood.org to share your thoughts. We love hearing from you.
If you want to learn more about the topics we covered today, check out our show notes. We include more resources as well as links to anything we mentioned in the episode.
Understood.org is a resource dedicated to helping people who learn and think differently discover their potential and thrive. Learn more at understood.org/mission.
In It is produced by Julie Subrin with help from Cody Nelson. Ilana Milner is our production director. Justin D. Wright mixes the show. Mike Errico wrote our theme music.
For the Understood Podcast Network, Laura Key is our editorial director, Scott Koshier is our creative director, and Seth Melnick is our executive producer. Thanks for listening.
And thanks for always being in it with us.